What had you so busy this weekend, Kyle? What have you been doing?
Friends came over, stayed at the house. They always keep me busy.
That's always fun.
It's fun, but it's like I can't, you know, I just got done actually talking to my wife about this. Like, I enjoy it when they come over, mm-hmm. but it's like they occupy my entire time because I have to entertain them, mm-hmm. and they're pretty picky.
Mm.
And so
that sounds like shitty friends.
No, I mean, they're really good.
Where are they from?
Orlando.
So that's a little bit of a drive over.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll stay over if they're like visiting. He has family in Tampa, so.
And they just, why don't they stay at their family's house?
They like our house better.
You got more games?
Yeah, pretty much.
Hmm. And are they into the same sort of stuff that you and your wife are into? The games, yep. and toys and amiibos and shit?
That's it, yep. Although no one will play Nintendo games with me because they say that I just win every time.
Oh.
So I don't get to play Smash Brothers or any of those games.
Maybe next time they do one of those Pokemon tournaments at E3, like last year, we put you in there.
Oh, yeah.
And
represent.
Yeah.
Zach of the Fanboy.
Yeah. Be like the wizard. But you would be... 30, or I don't know how old you are.
31.
31.
Yeah.
And Fred Savage was like 12. So it'd be kind of like a cross between Grandma's Boy and The Wizard.
And I'd take
home the title.
Yeah, I'd watch that movie.
Against some small Asian kid.
Yeah.
Delve into some side stories, some backroom stuff. It might be good. All right, so this is episode 26. You were right. We did do 24 episodes previously. Last week was going to get confusing. So last week was 25. This week is 26. Kyle, I hope your friends don't listen to this podcast because that shit's going in.
Okie dokie.
I haven't been doing jack shit. So nothing to talk about on my front other than playing some video games. Trying to get through this broken wrist thing and still be able to play some games. I did get to play some games this weekend with the Gears of War beta, which we'll talk about a little bit later on. But since it is Sunday afternoon, and if you're listening to this, it's probably after the fact, we're going to jump right into some news of some things that happened in the world of video games this week. You know, I don't know about this list of news. This is what's called a slow news week.
It was a slow news week.
Let's see what we can come up with.
Yeah. I mean, there was some interesting info, but, there wasn't anything brand new. There wasn't any shocking, except for rumors. There were a lot of rumors.
There were some rumors. Week. There was some concrete information that is pretty much a bygone conclusion at this point. And then I guess, yeah, let's just go down the list.
Okay. What was the top of the list?
The top of the list was
Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah. The top
of the list. Yeah, because everyone's excited for the game that will not actually be Red Dead Redemption 2.
You don't think so?
Well, it'll be called something else, at least. I mean, there was a Red Dead game already, Red Dead Revolver.
Mm-hmm.
So, it'll be like Red Dead Revolution or something. And yeah. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of rumors about what will be Red Dead Redemption 2 or whatever
it is. This game is coming out.
Yeah, at some point.
Yeah.
Sure.
There's no way. This is the next... It's got to be the next game they make.
You think so?
I don't think it's GTA 6.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense because they're raking in millions of dollars.
And if you do that in the old Western times, I mean, they have two of those things going at once and then the money just... comes in. They have two open world games like that with a online kind of similar to what they're doing with GTA Online. Because GTA Online is the gift that keeps on giving, apparently, as we'll get into the MPD sales again. I mean, Grand Theft Auto 5 has been on that list for 3 years now.
Yeah. And apparently they've made over $500 million just in microtransactions.
Right. And those shark cards and shit. Who knows? They probably don't even have a reason to do anything else other than make GTA Online events. But hopefully somebody at one of the Rockstar studios is working on this game. Because apparently a news article that Damian wrote just a couple of days ago claimed that a reputable, I would say Tech Radar is reputable.
Yeah.
Caught wind of the map for the game.
Yes, they actually have an image that looks like the official map from the game,
mm-hmm.
Which shows, I guess, that it's kind of moving eastward. It's in the general same area, but moving around a little bit. And the rumor goes on to say that it will be a prequel to Red Dead Redemption. It will take place before it.
And to bolster this leak, a user came forward on NeoGAF and mentioned he has an uncle that works at Nintendo. No, he has a friend that's a stuntman that confirmed that the game is a prequel, and he did mocap work for the game. The stuntman was playing a character that was half Indian and half white. However, he's unsure if it's the main character yet. That would be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, those are always, like you said, right. you know, playing. My dad's already, I played Super Mario Brothers 4. Dad. Yeah, those are always kind of iffy, but, you know, it at least adds to this. And as tired as I am of Red Dead Redemption 2 rumors,
this one
seems like the best.
This is my father's favorite game. I hope to God it comes out for him. He loves it.
It's a good one.
It is. Yeah. All right. So that's a thing. Hopefully it's true.
Yep.
Moving along to news item number 2. Minecraft sells 10,000 copies a day.
Yeah, according to the New York Times, who I believe they were the ones that said we are living in the age of Minecraft. No, the Minecraft generation. Did you know we are part of, or at least witnessing, the Minecraft generation?
I don't know. I stopped playing Minecraft a while ago.
I did too.
I never really, really got into it. There were some... I love the music for Minecraft, and I like the whole... I like games like that where I can just be by myself. I never got into the online aspect of it. I never got into the, like, I'm going to build something incredible to show people aspect of it. I just got into the, I'm going to build something that goes to the top of the map. Or I'm going to build, I'm going to dig down to as low as I can go. I never got into, I got to get all these gems so I can make this glass and, you know, do all these other crazy things. I just never got into it that way, in the way that the Minecraft generation does get into it, like Legos. So, but it's pretty staggering that they're still selling that many copies of this game. Looks like it was a good purchase by Microsoft.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, just the game itself probably made back the money, or will very soon. And then you have the
merchandising. If they're selling 10,000 copies a day at $20 a copy, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, going to Toys R Us these days, and there's essentially at least a half aisle worth of Minecraft toys. It's taking over. And I mean, what's really surprising looking at this actually was the statistics of 40% of the people who play the game are female.
Mm-hmm.
That's not super surprising, but the age demographic surprised me, which is that the average age is 28 to 29.
I read this and I was like, that can't be right.
So here's where I think that is happening. They're counting people like me.
Right.
I bought Minecraft. Mm-hmm. All my gamer friends have bought Minecraft. None of us have played Minecraft in a long time. We did. We played a ton of it. We got our money's worth. I'm not saying, you know, we didn't enjoy the game. I put probably hundreds of hours into Minecraft. But I did drift away, just like you, maybe a little bit later than you did. I was building a lot of stuff. We had, you know, shared worlds. We were doing multiplayer. We would set up challenges for each other. Different stuff that, you know, kept the game really engaging. But yeah, I wouldn't count myself these days as a Minecraft player. So if they're including people like me in that, I can see where it got up to 28, 29. I think the people that are buying this, 10,000 people buying this a day, and the people who are playing it every single day now, that age is much lower.
I mean, you could also attribute some of those 28, 29 demographics to people buying it for their kids.
I guess, yeah. I'm not sure where they got that.
Playing on their gamer tag or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I went to one of the first conventions I went to was MineCon.
You've been to MineCon.
I've been to MineCon. They were in Orlando, so me and a group of friends went. So it was interesting. I'd already been to PAX before this, and I was kind of expecting PAX, but themed after Minecraft. And instead, it was very awkward. There were, you know, there were some good times. It was not bad, but it was skewed much younger than I thought it was going to. There were a lot of, you know, teenagers and preteens there, and that's just not what I was expecting, just because my group of friends at this time were Minecraft fans, and I felt that that age was higher. Now I know it's much lower. That was around the transition where Minecraft went from, like, the, you know, PC gamer. It was like 2014, so it had been out on the consoles for a while, but I don't know. It just felt like that was the tipping point where everything just went really, really young in Minecraft.
And you've got the next thing we're going to be sending you to is Dragon Con.
I wanted to go to that.
I was just joking, yeah. Kyle. That's been a topic.
No, it definitely has come up.
Your circle of friends have been talking about it.
Me and my wife.
It is a southern. It's in Atlanta. It's based.
It's in Atlanta. It's a four-hour drive from where I'm at.
Close, man. You can dress up like Gandalf and have a good one.
I'll be at PAX East a week from today.
Will you be in, like, a cosplay outfit?
I'm just joking.
You will be there on having fun, but you'll be there also in a media capacity covering the convention for our website.
Yep.
And that'll be next week, and we'll have plenty to talk about when you come back from that. But let's move along from this Minecraft news and other conventions. Let's talk about Dark Souls 3.
You been playing still?
Dude, I am fucking stuck in Dark Souls 3, and it is goddamn shame. Very early on, I am stuck in... do you know where that fire, the spot where you first meet those things, where if you hit them with the flames, you kill them automatically if you, like, hit them with the torch?
The like, slug guys?
They're in, like, this swampy...
They're in a ravine.
Yeah, like, they're in this swampy area. But if you run to the right real quick, you can go into that room that's got the ladder. Then you go up to the top, then you go up to the...
I know exactly where you are. Cathedral of the Deep, I believe.
Yeah, you go up to the top, and then those fucking little tiny things drop out of the ceiling and just keep... I mean, they're very... annoying. And I keep progressing. I progressed all the way through that area to where that giant is in the middle. You know what I'm talking about? And then I'm like, well,
I guess minor spoilers if you're a crazy Dark Souls fan.
I'm keeping it pretty vague.
Yeah.
But I'm like, well, there's got to be a bonfire around there somewhere. I don't know where it is, and don't tell me where it is. I'll figure it out.
Yep. All right.
But I'm like, should I? And that was as far as I progressed after playing through that, like, 20, 30 times.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to the giant, and I'm like, well, I could run for it. And I ran, and he killed me, and then I turned it off, and I haven't played again. There's a couple different ways I could have went instead of trying to run past the giant, like down, like to the right or whatever, once you get into that first room where you're kind of like looking over him. But I've put it down for the time being. And that's just because there was a lot of stuff that came out this week, not necessarily big games. Well, actually, there were a couple games that we'll talk about briefly. But, you know, there was, you know, the Fallout 4 Wasteland Workshop DLC. There was... The Division and its first incursion to tackle, and then, you know, Dark Souls 3 and Gears of War 4 beta is also out right now. So there's a lot of stuff kind of occupying my time, but Dark Souls 3 DLC is coming out this fall, so I have plenty of time to get through that.
Yeah, I mean, so I haven't been big enough into Dark Souls to know when these DLC come out. Can you just play? Are they just a new area that gets tacked on, or is this like end game content where I really need to have beaten the game. How does this usually work?
The Dark Souls original DLC was fucking like, you've got to go to this thing and then you've got to do like these special things and then drop down into this hole. It was so obscure that like people couldn't even figure out how to actually access it.
Which sounds very Dark Souls. Yeah, that
the first one was just like,
I'm not surprised by that at all. Oh,
yeah, why the fuck did they do this? And then they kind of made it a little bit better for Dark Souls 2. The DLCs themselves are actually like really good. If you're into these games, the DLCs for Dark Souls, once you accessed it, Dark Souls 2 has been pretty good. The DLC for Bloodborne was really excellent as well. As far as where do you have to be, I don't know. Like for Bloodborne, my character was actually a new character, and I had went in there maybe a third of the way through the game, and I got through that. Okay. Not without, I mean, there was definitely some challenge, and characters that were better spec'd with better could probably run through that. But yeah, it's usually.
So it's usually accessible by anybody, but
pretty accessible.
Yeah, might need to do some
accessible grinding. By the standards of the Souls series.
Yeah.
So, and this is going to follow the same release method of Bloodborne, and it'll be two DLC packs.
Yeah, there's apparently two for the season pass,
and you get that for $25. Yep. Probably worth it if you're a Souls fan, and apparently there are a lot of them. I'm guessing that's going to be one of the top-selling games next month, alongside Quantum Break, if Microsoft's statements are anything to go by.
Yeah.
But Quantum Break didn't come out last month. It came out this month, and that did not help Microsoft win MPD. In March, which those numbers came out, and once again, the PlayStation 4 kind of dominated everybody else.
One might say dominated.
I think that's what the official statement was from Sony said. It said, "Thank you to our fans and partners for making PlayStation 4 the most dominant console and software sales leader for the month of March. We're dominating as the number one console for fans of the division." According to MPD, we are truly humbled by this dominating success and look forward to dominating more and delivering more dominating gaming experiences throughout 2016, including the further domination once we launch PlayStation VR this October with no opposition. Yeah, that wasn't the official statement. Yeah. That was
my just statement. Paraphrased. Yeah.
Yeah, Sony's winning. I don't think Microsoft said anything. I think they said, people are spending a lot of time on the Xbox One. I think their comeback.
They've been changing their language around
big time
sales. They really talk more about time spent on your Xbox.
I definitely spend more time on my Xbox than my PlayStation 4.
I spend, if I'm watching TV, if I'm doing something on my TV other than playing PS4 or Wii U, my Xbox is on.
Right. Yeah, they did a good job with that, making it the center of your living room thing. The 5 hours I spent with Quantum Break, I played The Division on it this week as well. I played the Wasteland Workshop on Xbox as well this week. I can see how Sony's still selling more consoles.
Which. Going back to our previous podcast, I don't see how they. I mean, overall, it goes on to say overall hardware sales were down.
Right, compared big time, to right? 17%, is that right?
Something like that. I see dollar sales were down 19%. Unit sales dropped 17%. So I mean, that's not amazing, but sales overall are still really, really good. And I mean.
This thing's on pace to beat the PS2.
Yeah, the idea that they're now talking about replacing this or in some way enhancing it or changing it, just doesn't sit right to me. I'm not putting it past them. From all the things that are coming out, it's looking more and more likely, but it just seems like a very strange move for them to be talking about the PS4.5 or 4K when this is still happening. They're still dominating the sales charts. They're just destroying everyone. It just seems weird.
Yeah, the two friends of mine that I speak with most on the Xbox One, who are longtime Xbox fans, one of them took the plunge and bought a PlayStation 4 this week because he's a big baseball fan and he wanted to get in on some of that MLB The Show as baseball season started recently. And the other is on the other side of the fence, who's like, well, I'm going to wait because I've been hearing, you know, rumors of maybe these consoles are going to get updated, and he doesn't want to buy something that's going to be outdated in 6 months, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think a lot of people are kind of feeling like that. But as many as they're selling, it's hard to imagine that, you know, at least like the core gaming audience isn't tapped into one of these consoles or the other. I just don't see where Microsoft is going to do that same thing. You know, are they going to get?
Yeah.
Can you make somebody who already has a PlayStation get an Xbox? And what is it going to be for? Gears of War? I mean, they already put out Halo.
Yep, they put out a lot of big stuff for Halo. If anyone was interested in Halo, they bought an Xbox One by that point.
Hopefully. Because Halo was a good one. I think we both agreed on that. Software side of things, I kind of felt it last month. I felt that Ubisoft love. Far Cry Primal was really good. The Division was the number one seller. And then Nintendo snuck in there.
They did.
With your
My boys.
With your game.
They're scrapping it out.
They're like, we're going to get one more in there. In the worst month of the year. The Legend of Zelda, Twilight Princess HD.
Came in third.
Yeah. Yep. And Pocket Tournament made it in there. Mm-hmm. Two games we both reviewed. Got high scores on the site.
Yeah, both were really good. I'm not surprised that Twilight Princess sold well. I mean, that was a good one. And people really, really want a new Zelda game to play. So.
Right. And this is not a new Zelda game, but it is something to hold something them over. And that's kind of what we were saying. I mean, that was the question I was asking. Is this a game that is you know, just a stopgap for that big new Zelda experience, and apparently it is. So I guess we put this in news, but I mean, I played it, and I'm pretty sure you played it too. The Fallout 4 Wasteland Workshop is
not amazing.
Points? This is disappointing people?
I've been disappointed. I don't know about you.
You know my story with Fallout. My old save got kind of.
Oh yeah, you were having trouble accessing.
I can access all the stuff in the workshop, but I'm not out there wrangling death claws and pitting them against each other in these arenas to make them fight. I just don't have the resources or the capability to do it quite yet.
Mm-hmm.
But what about it was disappointing for you, or what about it? Have you read anything where people are disappointed?
Yeah,
by it?
I mean, if you go to Metacritic right now, it's average critic score, which it actually hasn't gotten enough reviews to get one, but it's around a 5. Mm-hmm. The average user score is 3.9.
Mm. So it's about as popular as Horse Armor.
I mean, there really aren't that many reviews. There's, I guess, 21 ratings on Metacritic right now, so it's not a ton, but I've definitely seen some very negative comments. It's weird because, I mean, it's only a $5. What is it, $5?
Yeah, I think it's $4.99.
Yeah, so it really wasn't meant to be this big chunk of content like Automatron was or what Far Harbor is looking to be. But I think people were just kind of expecting something more. There's no quest at all. It's just extra items for you to build. And then along with that, you can, you know, tame animals. Mm-hmm. I built a few things. I didn't really dive too much into like taming the death claws and everything.
You can put like specific people in your villages or whatever onto these platforms, and then put like another thing on the platform, like a monster, and they'll fight.
Yeah,
I didn't get it to work, but I built the platforms. So I when know, I come just, back to it, hopefully I'll pit some settlers against each other, I guess. I don't know. I just would like to see some how that works before I kind of say I'm disappointed in it. But, I mean, this is a type of DLCs for people that are really into this game, that are still that just want something else to do. It kind of reminds me of the Skyrim DLC where they let you build houses and do the crafting and all that stuff. But that was a totally different situation because that game didn't have any of that stuff to begin with. And Fallout 4 obviously does have a little bit more of a crafting element already baked in. And this is just more of that. So I don't know if I agree with being disappointed with it or not. I it's hard for me to tell personally, but I have to go with the internet on that one.
I feel like if you got the season pass, this is a decent little, you know, cool, something to check out in Fallout 4 again. If you bought it, actually paid $5 for it without getting anything else, people would probably be pretty upset just because it doesn't do anything to actually, like, tie this content together. It just throws it in there. Now you have extra stuff to build, and if you didn't like the workshop mode, if you didn't like building up your village, it's completely useless. I don't know. So it's interesting stuff, but it's definitely not being as well received. I feel like Automatron was pretty well received because it did have a nice mission. It had some interesting elements in the robot building, but it also gave you some actual story content. And while this is cheaper, so it's not necessarily, you know, it shouldn't be raised to the same expectations, I think people have definitely reacted negatively to that.
Stop the presses. The PS Vita may have stopped selling in the Netherlands.
Oh. Are they the last place for it to stop selling? No. Or?
I was just trying to round out the news section with some pointless bullshit.
It's still selling?
Who knows? Who knows? Maybe the people in the Netherlands just said, you know what? We're done with the Vita.
Yeah.
And Sony said, okay.
Okay. We are too, but don't tell anyone.
Yeah. We're going to slowly phase this thing out, which is odd because a friend of mine, like I said, just bought a PlayStation and he's like, man, that sounds pretty fucking cool. You know, he's like, ooh, you can use the Vita to remote play? And I was like, yeah, it's actually a pretty nice feature. And I said, too bad that thing's not going to be around much longer.
They really, I feel like they missed an opportunity there. They haven't tied the PS4 to the PS Vita the way that I feel that they should. When the PS Vita or when the PS4 was first announced, what I wanted on launch day was a bundle with a PS Vita, and I didn't get that. I don't even know, has there been a bundle with the PS Vita? I feel like there was at some point, but
I'm not sure.
I mean, because I was really interested in some of that stuff, but I wasn't interested in a
pretty expensive bundle.
Yeah, but, bundles get people excited.
Yeah.
People love bundles. I was excited about those features, but I wasn't excited enough to go out and actually get a Vita by itself. I just kind of wanted it thrown into the box.
I like the Vita. Like, I've had a lot of good experiences on the Vita. I played 100 hours of Spelunky on the Vita. I played a lot of those indie games that came as cross-buy compatible games between the two on the Vita because it's more convenient when you're sitting in bed and you want to play some, one of these games. I just used it quite often. I haven't turned it on in a little while because there hasn't been a game that has made me want to do that, but a lot of those games were like tailor-made for it. I didn't like the redesign they did on it. They removed, I really like the OLED screen on the original launch product.
Yeah.
I thought that thing was of high, production value. But I think I'm personally over it. And maybe a lot of other people are too.
Yes. Yeah. And I feel like the Vita almost compares to the Wii U in a way, in that the people who have it seem to like it.
Mm-hmm.
And there are games that they really, really enjoy. It's just, it never got over that hurdle. It never had those games that people had to have. And I still feel like Sony doesn't really understand how handhelds should work, in that they just kind of take console games and throw them on there.
They did. That was like their initial plan. Like, we're going to make an Uncharted, and we're going to have Killzone, and we're going to have all these like big experiences where you're going to need to have this Vita in your hands for 8 hours if you want it, you know? And that's not what you use it for. It's really great for games like Spelunky, which is, you know, you pick it up for 10 minutes, you play it, and you put it down. Or, you know, something like Enter the Gungeon, which I played recently. I don't think it's on the Vita, but that would be the perfect game for it. Roguelike games are perfect for the Vita. Very short experiences where you whether you're on a commute or whether you're just playing it for an hour, that kind of stuff works well for it. I mean, in my opinion, Nintendo still does the long experience game.
Yeah, they do, but they tailor them in a way, and those are kind of secondary. The main 3DS games are those quick, you know, pick up and play games.
Mm-hmm.
And then along with them, you'll get a Ocarina of Time 3D. But then they take those and they really fine tune them. They make adjustments to them. And I'm sure the Vita versions of like Uncharted and all of that do this as well. But I don't know. It's more noticeable on the 3DS side for me. And I've seen them do it to the point where I know if you have a big game like, you know, Keeping with Zelda, Majora's Mask 3D, I know that it's been modified in some way to make it work a little bit better on the handheld. So they like threw more checkpoints out there and did all this stuff in the game to make it a little bit more handheld friendly. But even with that, I'm buying it to get a portable version of a game I already enjoy. The main 3DS games are handheld games. They are made to be handheld games. They're shorter experiences.
One of those 3DS games came out this week, Bravely Second Endlayer. Our very own Mike Guarino, sorry Mike if I mispronounced your name, reviewed it for the site. He gave it a 4.5 out of 5. Unfortunately, he's not here to tell us about what he liked about Bravely Second Endlayer. But he said he was a fan of the series and said this was exactly what a sequel should be, improving upon the foundation of the original while adding in its own ideas to further enhance the experience. It's a 60-plus hour adventure, which is more consistent than the first game, according to Mike, and the main plot and side quests are more elaborate and engaging.
Yeah. You know how you know a game reviewer really loves a game?
How?
When they write one of the longest reviews that our site has ever had.
Yeah, that was a long one. He did.
It was a long one. He went really in depth, and he seemed to be really passionate. And I played a little bit of the first one, and I definitely enjoyed it. So I'm not surprised that this is a very good game as well.
The other game we reviewed this week was Ratchet & Clank for PlayStation 4. I am not sure. Was this a reimagining?
Yeah, it was a reimagining.
Okay,
in a way, it's a remake from a different perspective that ties into the movie.
Oh, okay.
some people have called this Ratchet the Clank, the game, the movie, the game.
Okay. Dean James did not call it that. He called it a risky move that paid off handsomely with a robust weapon system, which Insomniac is known for, and outstanding gameplay meshed perfectly together in the visually beautiful Ratchet and Clank.
Everybody's been excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, Sony fans can't help but get excited for a Ratchet and Clank game, right?
Yeah. I was a Sly Cooper man
myself.
I also played Jack and Daxter, didn't like Jack 2. But somehow I avoided Ratchet and Clank for the most part. I definitely tried it, but I didn't get too deep into it.
I have never played Ratchet and Clank, Jack and Daxter, or Sly Cooper.
You missed all the three PS2 platformer franchises?
Yep.
Aww,
I think that's probably because I threw my PS2 out of a window and then it broke and then I never got another one.
That sounds like an interesting story.
It was. I was trying to hit somebody. So we're going to move it along to what we played this week, and that was, well, one of the things we already covered was the Fallout Wasteland DLC, which we'll move along from. We've already kind of given our impressions on that. The second was, you know, The Division. Did you go back in and take a look at the Incursion stuff?
I wanted to, but you have to be max level. And after I was done with my first bit of that game, I got busy with Dark Souls. So I did not go back and level myself up to the point where I could play the Incursion. But I've been reading other people who have played it.
Yeah.
And I think people are enjoying it.
Yeah, it's interesting.
The impression you're getting?
I mean, I
did you actually get to play
it? I did. Yeah, I played a little bit of it. I mean, I went in a couple times, tried to play it with only... It's recommended for four players. We played it with myself, who was... my character is definitely leveled to go in there. It's like a level one... I think it's between like 140 and 160 is what the recommended levels are. And I think I'm like 155 or whatever. My character's got enough DPS to take down the many enemies that they throw at you in this thing. And the people I went in with were a little bit lower than I was, but it was only three of us. So we tried to tackle it with three people. You know, it really did feel kind of like they were going for that raid feel of Destiny. Maybe not with some of the gimmicks that Bungie had thrown into their raids. Like, I don't know if you remember when that raid first came out for Destiny, the first one where you had to, like, use the mirror and point it at different things and do all these things that required a lot of teamwork. This game does do that, though. This Incursion does do that, where you're basically putting explosives on a tank and you have to work in tandem to turn off switches for turrets, and they throw tons of guys at you. There's like 15 different waves of very difficult enemies. Needless to say, we did not get through it. I wanted to quit after the first run. My friends were like, let's give it another shot. And like, we got to the point where we got the explosives one time and put them on the truck. And we thought we were like, we got killed after that and we didn't beat it. And we're like, fuck, man, we almost beat it. And going back and looking at it, it's like, you were not even close to beating it. You had 10 more levels to go. And so, yeah, it's kind of tough, I would say. Tough. But the rewards are, you know, for the Division players who are really still into that game. The gear set stuff probably helps out in, you know, getting more powerful characters and tackling that stuff as it continues to come out with the season pass. My overall take on the Division Incursion, the first one, is that, you know, if they're going for raid endgame content and they're trying to make it hard and that's what it is, they're doing a good job.
Nice.
So
how do you feel about the Division as a whole at this point, since you've kind of jumped back into it? Because I've been hearing reports that they're not fixing bugs and glitches as fast as they need to, and they're kind of causing issues with the game. Have you noticed anything?
I am not a hardcore The Division player. I am not, you know, like, they had a lot of things come out since the launch of that game where, oh, we can cheese this boss and just keep killing him over and over and over and keep getting, you know, the possibility for random drops. It was kind of like Destiny's loot cave at the very beginning of the game. I don't know if you remember that. But
vividly,
it had some of that stuff in the early goings. As far as other bugs and glitches and stuff, I'm not really sure. I know when the first update came out, it was erasing characters and doing stuff like that on the server side. But other than that, I haven't noticed any of that stuff. For me, it seems, you know, pretty good. If you're into that, you know, character progression and building of a character, they're apparently doing a good job with it. I mean, at least as far as what I can see, I kind of got over it. You know, once I kind of got my first round of gold weapons and gold items, I was like, okay, well, I don't feel like grinding through this a few more times to do that again.
Yeah.
And they did some changes and tweaks with the way that the materials systems work. So, you know, how you walk, you're picking up materials and then upgrading those materials to get higher end materials so you can get higher end gear or craft through the blueprints. I don't know how deeply you got into that system, but that's, you know, what a lot of people were doing with that game. And anybody who said it wasn't like Destiny, I was like, you are an idiot. This is exactly like Destiny. This is, I'm going to farm these crystals on the moon or whatever the fuck it was at the time.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it is exactly that. But I think they're kind of trying to skew the game more towards the incursions and the encounters and high-level bosses and encouraging players to beat those guys to get gear instead of making it into a grind. And that's good, you know? That's what, you know, why people played older MMOs, played those endgame content is for the chance to get drops instead of grinding for items or materials to build your character that way. Because that can be kind of boring.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And then we both got a chance to play some Gears of War 4. Kyle, you said it was shit. That was your first impression.
So
I'm not letting you off the hook on that.
Maybe paraphrasing.
No. Hold on. That was a direct quote.
So it was.
It wasn't. But it wasn't. It was a question. It wasn't a statement. That is true.
It was, is this just me?
Or and is this I think it
may be just me that thinks that the beta is shit. But it really could just be me. I don't know. I'm playing this thing, and you pointed out it looks much worse when you're spectating.
It's all over the place.
It really does. The spectating, I don't know, everyone's movements are janky. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the human character models, especially the females, look weird.
It looks like shit.
That's not
the
just
character
me,
models
right?
look like shit right okay. now.
And this is a beta.
This is a game that's 7 months out.
Exactly. Yeah. All of this could change. But, you know, since you're quoting me, I gotta
back
say
of the
why.
Box.
The gameplay is still just, it's Gears. It feels to me a little bit faster, but that, I like I said before, I dropped out of Gears after Gears 2.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it got faster while I was gone. You know, I don't know. I really enjoyed Gears multiplayer because of the tense one life thing. And that's still there. They have two modes right now. They have Team Deathmatch and Dodgeball, which is a new mode. So the team deathmatch, you do have respawns, but you only have a certain amount. And then when those run out, it gets down to that where you die and you're stuck spectating. And I was playing terribly.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent a lot of time spectating.
Yeah.
Now, my question was, why am I so terrible?
Because they're like Gears pros on there, I think, already. Like, people are really, really good. I don't know. If you haven't played Gears in a while, it is very, very dependent on, like, your fun with the game is kind of, if you're not on a team that is going for the power weapons and controlling the map, and you're on the opposite side of a team that is doing that, your time with Gears is going to be fucking shitty, because you're just going to be getting boom-shotted, you're going to be getting the torque bowed, you're just going to be getting ran over, basically. And that's what that game is controlling the power weapons and, you know, controlling the map and working as a team. You know, I played maybe 5 hours of it. I do like Gears. I said in the last podcast that I'm really excited about this game. My first impression was kind of like what you said, as far as like the character models and stuff look like they need a little bit more polish. Like the maps and stuff look like they need a little more polish. I think they're going for 1080p 60. So the game does feel, and it's not quite there. So it does feel a little bit off at times when guys are bouncing back and forth. Between
the slide
cover
mechanic just seems a little broken right now. Yeah. The cover, it feels like maybe the cover is too close together, or you can trigger your slide into cover from too far away. I mean, you're just,
that's
slide
just what people do in Gears. You never played
so
Gears
far,
like that. That's just what people do. They're like bang, bang, bang.
But it just feels too much. It feels like that maybe is something that they should have fixed.
That's how people who like to play Gears, that's how they play. They just go cover to cover, cover to cover, shotgun.
But it's less going cover to cover. I don't know. It felt like it would trigger from too far away. That you would do this weird slide animation from like 8 feet back from the cover, and you would slide into that, and then slide into the cover next to it without actually. It just felt, I don't know. It felt like the movement was a little weird.
Yeah.
But you know, that's maybe what the what the pro Gears players are enjoying.
I got into a couple of fights where I was like, holy shit, I can't hit this guy. He just went, wait, he's over here, he's over there.
It's, and shotgun to the face.
Yeah, there was, so there's definitely a learning curve with that game. As I played a little more, I got a little bit more used to the way it is. I think like playing that game for an hour and saying, oh, this is doesn't feel right, it's, I think you have to play it a little bit more.
And I'm
sure they're going to tweak some stuff. They'll probably tweak like shotgun spreads, and then they'll probably tweak like, you know, some of that cover stuff and how quickly you can move back and forth. And when they probably get the game to the solid 60 frames or whatever, I'm sure it'll feel a lot smoother. Because if the Gears of War Ultimate Edition was any indication of how well they can get that game running, that was a good one. I don't know if you played that or not, but the Ultimate Edition was pretty smooth and solid.
And I wanted to. I played my backwards compatible version instead, which was not the same.
No, the Ultimate Edition is a pretty game. It definitely puts this beta to shame as far as visuals go. And I'm sure they're going to get it up. Up to that level of quality. I don't doubt them. You know, doing
it
that.
It felt like it was too smooth. Like Gears is sort of cluttered, and you know, it's full of little details, and I wasn't seeing those in this. Which again, 7 months out, it is a beta, so not.
Yeah, this isn't a demo of like a game that's coming out next month. I think there's way more to be seen from this before we can pass any judgments on it. But what I saw in there was kind of like a skeleton of something that looked pretty cool.
A couple of tweaks here and there, and my review of shit would change to liked or loved. I don't know.
More than likely, or they could just throw in the towel right now and be like, this is it. They love it.
Yeah, just put it out.
They love it. Let's move up the release date.
Yeah. I think Gears is going to be at PAX, so I'm going to try and chat with somebody there and just be like, what's this beta representative of for you guys? Is this
it says it right up there in front. Like, this is not even close. I think, yeah. I mean, that's not the verbiage on the front screen, but, you know, just like all betas, is this is a work in progress.
Yeah. Aside from getting slaughtered, you know, it did feel like Gears. So they've got everything going in the right direction. Maybe just a couple of tweaks here and there.
There's some good stuff in there if you, you know, once you start getting the feel for how to play Gears again. They got a couple new weapons, or at least one new weapon that I saw was like a drop shot.
Oh, that thing's... Yeah, that thing's really cool.
That thing is cool because it changes up the way that you know, use cover against that thing, because you can drop a shot over cover with this power weapon. It's pretty cool. So you got a rocket launcher that shoots up and then comes straight down on you.
There was also other stuff with cover where you can actually like pull people out of cover if they're on the other side. You can also, I think it was, you can leap over cover and you kick somebody. I mean, it didn't happen a lot because
you used to. I mean, that's not a new mechanic. That you used to be able to run over. Yeah, if you drop over cover while like somebody was on the other side, you would stun them and then you can.
No, I mean this is like a full blown move where you leap over and you like kick them.
Yeah,
from what it described. And then there's the other one. I actually had this happen to me where they pulled me over cover
and then knife
to where
ass.
They were. Yeah.
Yeah, there's the Gears is so fun. I mean, there's no, it's so rewarding to just walk up on somebody who's trying to crawl away from you and stick them in the chest with your chainsaw and chainsaw them as your screen is just filling with blood. I don't know.
I got a couple of chainsaw kills. I mean, you know, that means that I died a lot going for those kills.
Yeah.
But I did get a couple in, and it's still just as fun as it was 10 years ago, whenever that first one came out.
I'm excited to play with my friends when my carry comes on, because I suck. I am not a good Gears player, but I'm a support. I'm a guy that loosens them up for my carry to come in and just boom, 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 you know?
Yep. Yeah.
So I'm ready for the open, or that's going to come to Ultimate Edition players first on Monday, April 18th, and then open for all on the 25th.
Ah, so I won't get as slaughtered. All
right. Right.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out then.
Yeah. I mean, I'm guessing the people who played Ultimate Edition are going to be pretty good. Those were probably hardcore Gears fans. And then when everybody joins in, that might be when you kind of get a chance to have some fun with it.
Yep.
For a little
while. And they do have a ranking system already in the beta.
Yeah, and they have like a matchmaking system that kind of puts you in a division.
Yep.
Which is cool. And they had a card system. And they're apparently doing kind of free DLC the way that Halo did it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
They're putting out the maps for free?
I don't know all the specifics of it, but I'm pretty sure it's going to work kind of like the card system for Halo Rec Packs or something along those lines. Okay. It's microtransactions of some sort. That was a news item that we did cover. I don't know if we should get into specifics of it right now because I don't really know how that's going to work. I don't think it's going to be the same as Halo's, like, you can buy these packs and it's going to give you a tank that you can use in the game, but Gears has kind of been known to have extensive cosmetic downloadable content. You know, that could be how they're going to fund the maps for this game. And I don't know other specifics on it, so I don't want to dig in. I've read some different things, different places that said like, you were going to be able to purchase the maps and they would be in a rotation. But there would also be like a free playlist that had the maps in it as well. I'm not exactly sure on it, but it's something along those lines.
As long as they just don't split the community like the old method did, then I'm all for trying out new stuff. I definitely enjoyed Halo's method where, as much as I don't like microtransactions, I don't have to buy them. I don't have to spend money on them.
Oh.
Everyone else can spend money on them and subsidize my free maps, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm loving this renaissance of like, oh, maybe we shouldn't. Maybe we shouldn't charge people for maps. That's great.
Yeah.
Ubisoft is doing it with Rainbow Six Siege, and it's cosmetic, it's characters, and I don't feel that that hurts like my experience at all. Sure, it sucks that you have to grind like a free-to-play game to get this stuff for free, but...
But you don't need it.
And that character isn't so powerful that you're like, I've got to have that right now and I have to spend the $5.99 because if I don't, I'm at a disadvantage. So as long as they keep that kind of... keeping it fair for the player, you know, I'm all for it.
Yep, me too.
So what do we have coming up this week? For games, do you know?
My schedule is all PAX East. I don't know what else.
When are you leaving
coming.
For that Thursday?
Thursday, yeah. So Star Fox actually does come out this week. So watch out for my review and some other stuff on that. There's already previews up on the site.
Yeah, we've got a couple previews.
Yep, Star Fox Zero and Star Fox Guard have individual previews. So check those out in the meantime. But that will come out on Friday, yes, and the review will be before that, so keep an eye out for that. Other than that, there's really not much coming out this month.
Is it a,
for the rest of the month, not just this week?
Well, we've only got two more weeks, and we'll get plenty to talk about when you come back from PAX, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it is looking like a very busy weekend.
Yeah, but it'll be fun.
It will. I love PAX East.
And how's that work? You going out there with some friends?
Yeah. Yep. I have a group that goes every year. I splinter off and go do my interviews and press demos while they wait in the long, long lines that PAX East has.
But PAX lines aren't that bad, man.
Oh, yeah, they are.
No, I mean, I'm not saying that they're not long. They're fucking excessive.
Yeah.
But it's not like an E3 line. I don't know. E3 lines suck.
The difference is E3's business.
Right, so everybody's business and everybody's in PAX, people are talking and...
people literally bring games. You play, you know, 3DS games or little travel board games while you're in line for other games. Yeah. Everyone at PAX is there to have fun. It's a great atmosphere.
Absolutely. And what, is PAX Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Yep.
All right. Plenty.
And we'll fly back early Monday. So I can probably call in and do a podcast from there. I'll be doing video stuff, so
live from PAX East
wrap up video or something.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that. Let's do a PAX podcast.
Sounds good.
Bring your microphones.
Yep.
You could bring your friends. Put them on here as well.
Sure.
See what they have to say about PAX East. It seems like there's going to be a pretty big presence of all sorts of games, big and small. Microsoft's going to be there. Sony's going to be there. Nintendo's going to be there. Blizzard's going to be there.
Bethesda. Capcom. There were a lot of big names, yeah. Mm-hmm.
At first, when we saw the emails start coming in, it's like, oh, it's going to be a lot of small games here. But PAX East is the big one, right?
Well, PAX is largely indie-focused no matter what. So even though these big companies are there, like, they have half the floor that they're like, only indies can go here. So 95% of the emails that I get are from indie games, and I do love checking out indie games. That's why you really go to PAX.
There are some good ones.
But of course, when you have Blizzard and Bethesda and Nintendo and all of those, I've got to talk to them as well. So I'll be spending a lot of time with those guys, but trying to check out as many indies as I can. Luckily, those have much smaller lines. You can usually just kind of sneak in for a 15-minute demo and try it out.
Now, do you do the panels?
Yeah, I've got a decent slate of panels to check out, actually.
It's so tough to, like, run the floor and get up to those things, because the lines for those panels start, like, hours in advance.
You have to... There's special Twitter accounts you need to follow that will tell you how long the lines are. So, like, one... Probably the biggest panel that is there, there's a Warcraft, the film panel, with the director of the movie, Duncan Jones, and the star of the movie, Robert Kaczynski, will be at PAX East giving a panel. And of course, you can watch that streaming. I think that's in the main theater, so you can watch that on Twitch. That's the big thing about PAX, is managing your time, figuring out, you know, what panels you have to go to, which ones you can skip, and which ones you should skip. And then you just kind of have to work in your time. Like, I'll have appointments scattered throughout the day, and then I'll be like, I've got an hour until my next appointment. Let's check out this game. So it's...
Tell your friend, go get in line for this thing.
Yeah, it is.
I'll meet you over there in an hour.
It's just nonstop. Yep.
All right. Well, we'll draw a line here. That's the end of the Attack of the Fanboy podcast number 26. Next week, 27, Kyle will be telling us all about PAX. For Kyle, I'm William for attackofthefanboy.com. Go check out all the stuff we talked about in this week's podcast as far as our Star Fox previews, if you want to get a little bit of information about that game that's coming out this week. And other than that, we'll see you next week.